I basically see myself as a warm-up act to the main show, which is going to be Matt, who's going to be speaking to you about what's really going to be happening in Virginia in this presidential election and things to watch out for and immediate concerns. So what I'll do is just sort of spend a few minutes giving you the long view of this and suggest how, in some ways, the new voter identification requirements are like a lot of things that we've seen before, but in one important respect, perhaps even more insidious. I mean, people like to compare them to legal requirements that we've had in the past, different places in the nation, things like property requirements, poll taxes, literacy tests, things like that, that actually work to disenfranchise large groups of people and disproportionately people of one political party or one political persuasion rather than another. The way these things operate is basically all the same. They impose a cost on people who want to vote. They manage often to impose it disproportionately on different groups. And often the people who are disproportionately burdened are the ones who are least able actually to manage to carry the burden. I like to compare it, the sort of structure of these things, a little bit to what you might think of as rain falling from the sky. There are a lot of interesting studies that show a correlation between, show that for every inch of rainfall during election day, voter participation declines by 0.5%. On the other hand, that translates, it's not as if rain affects everyone the same, you think that it might. It actually turns out to be a to increase, relatively speaking, Republican participation 2.5% for every inch of rain that falls on election day, as opposed to Democrats. So there's a wonderful article I encourage you all to read. It's basically why Republicans should pray for rain. Okay. Now, of course, it's not as if one political party or another can actually have control of the rains, unless they're trying to seed the clouds or anything like that. But the voter ID requirement, in one important respect, works the same way. In another respect, works even more worrisomely. It imposes a cost, apparently, and there are people who, frankly, are more aligned with the Democratic Party are going to find it more difficult to actually avoid those costs and manage to carry them. And also, the incidence of the cost is probably disproportionately loaded on potential Democratic voters. There are people, more Democratic voters have to use public transportation, would be less likely to have driver's license, you know, things like that. And that actually is the worst part of it, because it is like seeding the clouds, making, you know, the rain fall disproportionately on different kinds of districts and things like that. One thing that's very insidious about this is that compared to poll taxes, property qualifications, literacy tests, and things like that, the people who are behind most of these laws, I think, really understand. I mean, not the people on the street, that's part of the problem, but the people who are actually putting the requirements into place actually understand how they operate and don't really have much reason to believe that they're addressing a real problem. They understand that they will disproportionately affect some voters, and the public claim is that there is a real need for them, but they've never actually been able to mount that evidence, make the case. And they're relying on the voters not being able to understand what's really going on. So thus, for example, in the recent Pennsylvania case, the state admitted going in that it didn't have any evidence at all of voter fraud. And the studies that have been done show that there is some voter fraud, but it's of the type, the kind that you actually have to worry about is not the type that would actually be addressed by any of these voter ID requirements. That's basically voter fraud and absentee ballots and things like that, not someone showing up at a poll claiming to be someone else. So, you know, from my perspective, what is really pernicious here is that the people who are often proposing these laws are, in a sense, proposing them somewhat bad faith. Of course, when it gets to court, they know that the way they operate is that they're not going to keep a lot of people who are ineligible to vote from actually voting. But if they can, like the rain, basically give one side a 2.5% advantage, whatever it will be, in very close elections like this one, that could potentially make all the difference. In the article I was referring to about why the Republicans should pray for rain, it made the point that in 2000, there was a lot of rain in Florida, and that if that had been a dry, if it had not rained in Florida, given this the difference in participation rates, it would have made Florida safe for Gore. That was the empirical prediction. So this stuff really matters. People don't understand it. And so it's very important for people like you to immediately, I mean, in the short term of this election, make sure that these laws don't impose any more of a burden than they have to. And two, in the longer run of things, actually work hard to educate people so that people can understand what these laws are really about. Like in the words of the majority leader of either the Pennsylvania House or Senate, they're a way to try to make Pennsylvania go for Romney. That, you know, seems clear. So I encourage you all to work hard next month or so, and two, to work even harder over the long term to make sure that people really understand how these things operate and what their purpose is. And now I'll turn you over to Matt for some information about what the regime is on the ground in Virginia, how it operates, and what to look out for. Yeah. Thank you.
Hi, everyone. Thanks for coming over today. I know the free Chipotle didn't hurt, but I know when I was in law school that free food could have got me to go to almost anything. But I think this is a very valuable information session, and I'm happy to talk to you about what we're doing in the Obama campaign to help make sure that people get their votes counted on Election Day. So the takeaway I want you guys to have from this is in Virginia, voting is easy. It takes one acceptable ID to vote in Virginia. That isn't to say that honest mistakes won't be made administering the new law. I mean, it was only clear by the DOJ about a month ago. So a lot of election officials, registrars, everyone is trying to do their very best to implement the new law, but we need you on Election Day as volunteer poll observers to make sure that everyone's vote's counted and according to the letter of the new Virginia law. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you a brief overview of the new voter ID law in Virginia and go through all the different types of acceptable IDs and then tell you what we're doing for the Obama campaign and how you can help. So just to make it clear, there was a voter ID law in Virginia before this year. The main difference was if you did not have an acceptable form of ID, you just had to sign a form saying you are who you say you are, then you got to vote. This time, if you do that, if you show up without a proper form of ID, you have to vote provisionally. What that means is you have to provide an acceptable form of ID within by noon Friday after the election, either by mail, email, or fax, or in-person delivery. So that's the difference. Still have to have an acceptable form of ID, but you just have 3 days to provide it, and you have to vote provisionally if you don't have the ID. Okay, so I just want to talk about the new law now, and since I'm on this side of the lectern for the first time since I graduated from law school, I'm going to be asking you questions. Raise your hand if this is the first time you're voting in a federal election in Virginia. Keep your hands up if you have a current, what that means is unexpired or expired within 30 days of election, a valid photo ID. So that's driver's license, all that sort of stuff. And that includes out-of-state for first-time federal voters, so keep your hands up. Or can you have a copy of one of the following current, when that means matching what's in the poll book where you register, documents containing your name and address, a utility bill, bank statement, paycheck, government check or other government document, including a Virginia voter registration card, which all of you should have if you've registered by now, and a document from any federal, state, or local government agency. So those are all the IDs for people who are voting for the first time in a federal election in Virginia. And for everyone else, raise your hand if you have any of these IDs. A Virginia voter registration card. A Social Security card. I don't think that's going to apply, but a valid Virginia driver's license, a valid student ID card issued by an institution of higher education located in Virginia. I hope you guys all have that. A valid employee ID card with photo, a ID issued by a government agency of Virginia, a Virginia political subdivision, or the United States. A copy of a current utility bill, bank statement, government check, or paycheck. So again, has to have the name and address of the voter. And since we're in Virginia, a concealed carry permit. Anyone have that? Okay, so those are all the acceptable form of IDs. As you can see, it's a very inclusive list. They made sure that they had a very broad list of acceptable IDs because they wanted to get cleared by Department of Justice and to make it easy for everyone to vote. And it only takes one form of ID to do this. As I mentioned earlier, where I need you guys and where I'd like you to do is volunteer on Election Day as poll observers. And as Sarah mentioned, you have to be a qualified Virginia voter to do that, so you have to register to vote in Virginia. And the role of a poll observer in our program is to be inside the polls on Election Day. You'll be directly behind the election officials, and you'll be working with them throughout the day to kind of sort out any sort of issues, any sort of problems that occur on Election Day with voters, just basically implementing the new law as faithfully as you can to what's in the Virginia Election Code.